Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. And oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about and get into today here on the program. Joe Rex Road, it's very good to have you back today. What's going on? How we doing?
Well, put my head on the pillow, I think right around midnight, right at midnight, really close. So I wake up to a text from Jared, and the text it's
always how you want to wake up.
Yeah. No, it's a delightful treat. It's like Quinn or Gus leaving a big gift on my pillow, you know, and I wake up and it's right next to me. So it's actually a text from Caroline Fenton. It says, "Okay, fine, you get your Jared versus Joe trophy for the day." And I'm like, "What? I don't understand." Like, what? And then because one of the things we argued about in the argument I won as usual is whether Urban would be fired, and I said he would not be fired before the game. I figured, like, you know, all this stuff is going on. This kicking Josh Lambeau thing happened way before, you know, end of the year, sure. But boy. That did it. Sure. Worst coach ever? Worst NFL coach ever?
I think you can make a strong case he's the worst NFL coach ever. I mean, there have been some bad ones. I don't know that we've ever seen anything quite like the ride that was Urban Meyer with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Fired into his – didn't he make it through his first year? Fired as head coach of the Jags, which, by the way, that's the funny part about it is – they were terrible. Everybody knew they were going to be terrible. So that should give you some grace as a first-year head coach. And that's how bad it went. On the field, off the field. He gets fired before the first season is even over. What a day. Urban Meyer out as Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. Michelle's in there laughing about it right now. It's just been to wake up to that this morning, I got to say, was pretty funny.
I mean, the Bobby Petrino is the thing that comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the way he left was, and there's so much about Bobby Petrino that's just pathetic, right? All the way around. That's the only thing I can think of. I mean, like, Spurrier was terrible, you know, as a pro coach, but again, you know, it was a bad franchise at the time too. So, I mean, and he still had like a few years. This is incredible. I mean, like, I'll definitely raise my hand. I was wrong. Like, I didn't think necessarily that he'd be great in the NFL, but when you have that much success, you know, to me it's like he's too smart to do all the same college crap, right?
Apparently,
like,
not.
There's no way. Yeah, like, there's no way he's going to, like, go about things the same way, coaching people who, you know, are grown adults who make salaries and are more his peers than underlings, but apparently totally wrong. My gosh.
Shad Khan put out a statement last night, says, Daryl Bevel will serve as interim head coach of the Jags for the balance of the 2021 season. Daryl succeeds Urban Meyer after deliberation over many weeks and a thorough analysis of the entirety of Urban's tenure with our team. I am bitterly disappointed to arrive at the conclusion that an immediate change is imperative for everyone. I informed Urban of the change this evening. As I stated in October, regaining our trust and respect was essential. Regrettably, it did not happen. This coming from Jaguars owner Shad Khan late last night, announcing the firing of Urban Meyer. The immediate change is imperative for everyone line really got me. They're like, we have got to get this guy out of here immediately.
Right. Like, it's like a you know, like a lit piece of dynamite or something, you know, that you just have to throw into the ocean. Incredible. Incredible.
So I would think that, like, Trevor Lawrence is pretty happy today, huh? Like, the whole team probably feeling pretty good about themselves today.
I guess. Yeah. I can't imagine. You know, you never know. Like, obviously, I'll go to Saban, okay? Saban, this may surprise you, was not a favorite of a lot of people in on some of his early teams as a head coach.
Yeah.
Not beloved, okay? But actually, it's funny because some of the quarterbacks really got along well with him, and he had, like, good relationships with quarterbacks. You know, I mean, sometimes that can happen. But, yeah, I mean, Trevor Lawrence, even if he was excited at first or whatever, he had to – I mean, it's just – how could your coach cause this many distractions? That's the bottom line. Forget the – the coaching itself and all the missteps there, just like, you can't be a cause of constant distraction. Like, you're like a problem child, you know, like most players who have issues don't cause this many, you know, distractions in the course of a season. So, yeah, and it's good. Look, it's good for Trevor Lawrence. I would also say, if you want to take this locally, I'd say it's not great for the Titans. I mean,
no.
You know, they're going to hire, but I still think Trevor Lawrence has a chance to be a great player. And now, it is Shad Khan making a decision, so I guess, you know, you can feel good about that. But it would have been better for the Titans for this to probably just be prolonged, just because Shad Khan paid him so much money that he just couldn't quite fire him this early. But I don't know. I feel like Urban – like, you tell me, like somehow Urban made that story appear yesterday. I know it wasn't. I mean, it was Lambeau told Rick Stroud in the Tampa Bay Times. But, I mean, it almost feels like – it felt like Urban's like, what else do I need to do to get fired around here, you know?
Yeah, and it worked. I doubt very seriously that Urban Meyer is, like, too broke up about this today. I think he's probably relieved to be out there. If his facial expression walking off the field with the handshake of Mike Vrabel's any indication, he looked pretty miserable out there on the sideline. Coaching the Jags. I mean, just think about his tenure for a second. I mean, you had the strength coach debacle, like, right after he started. You've got the Tebow stuff. I'm like, I'm probably going to leave something out. It's been so much. But the Tebow stuff bringing into training camp. Obviously, you know, Grope Fest 2021 back in October before the Titans game. And then you've got all this stuff on the field where Trevor Lawrence is getting worse and they just look awful, putrid on the field. And then the Josh Lambeau stuff yesterday, finally bringing this thing to a very quick end. It's truly incredible how many different storylines and how many different things happen in not that long of a period of time with Urban Meyer as a head coach in the NFL.
Yeah, and then there's, you know, not knowing a player played, or, you know, his running back who's having an incredible day against the Titans comes out.
Yeah.
You know, and then after the game, he's like, well, that's the running backs coach. Well, no, you're the head coach. I mean, it's just – and there were other things in there too. But, yeah, you hit the big points. And this stuff, like, everybody who knew him well, you know, that I know of, and certainly people I've talked to, it, before it ever came up as a possibility, it was always like, this guy would not work in the NFL. It just wouldn't work. He can't do what he does in the NFL. And also, again, the way losing bothers him. But I don't know, man. Like, to not even know that you should fly home with your team after a Thursday night game and stuff like that. Like, I don't even know, like, college coaches who do that stuff. But man, it's incredible. Now I wonder, like, is Urban too? I'm sure he'll probably end up back in the TV sphere, but I mean, you wonder if, like, this, how much this has damaged him that way, even, let alone, like, coaching.
He'll end up as a college football coach again. Now,
you think so?
He'll be a college football coach again. I believe that for two reasons. Number one, he's proven that he can win in college, and eventually, it'll probably be a year or two from now, but this will all die down, and somebody says, you know what, I need a winner. Let's go get Urban Meyer. And number two, quite frankly, I just think he's too arrogant to go out this way. So I think he wants to come back and win.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the second part. And I guess it just depends. It comes down to like a Power Five job, maybe a lower level Power Five job. I think a lot. You know, I don't think that the primo job shelf is available to him anymore. At least not right now. But yeah, I guess you're probably right. You're probably right. Hopefully, he ends up on TV though, because what are we going to do if we have no Urban Meyer?
Well, that's true. Around? And it was funny because I think it was Caroline yesterday put up like the screenshot. I guess he was on TV last year and was talking about like the ways that teams are unsuccessful and how they don't work. And it was like, here's the way that the teams get broken, according to Urban Meyer. And it's like trust issues and all these different things that were listed out. And like, oh, you hit every one of those, buddy. Way to go.
If you search his name on Twitter, on the Explore page, it is just wild. Oh, the yeah. Wild West out there.
I'm kind of going to miss him. I'll be honest with you. Like, apart from what this means for the Titans, because I agree, this is not great news for the Titans. I was looking forward to seeing how long this was going to continue. But I think I am going to miss him. By the way, I've found that it's the criteria to examine for struggling teams, according to Urban Meyer. Number one, trust issues. Number two, dysfunctional environment. And number three, selfishness. Nailed him. Way to go, buddy.
Oh, gosh. There you go. He hit the trifecta. Man. Wait, what is this? You said explore? This, you mean like search his name? Or is there something else on Twitter I'm not aware of, Michelle?
No, if you go to, it's just called the Explore.
Yeah, you just name search.
You just name search. Yeah. You can see hashtags. Right. You can see anybody who mentions him. There was just a video, and it was like when Urban Meyer tries to get into the facility tomorrow morning, and the code wasn't working.
Oh, yeah, there's some good stuff here. Oh, yeah. By the way, what is Twitter Spaces?
Twitter Spaces? I think it's just like you can like broadcast to people on there your thoughts. You can create a space. Well, you should create a space later today. Joe Rexroad's space on Twitter.
Joe Rexroad's pet peeves.
A safe space for Urban. How about that? Also, I'm probably not going to ask him to subscribe to The Athletic today.
Although, you know, today might be a good day. You might need your discount code out of a job. So get one of those in there.
Oh, boy.
Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, there are two bad things about the firing of Urban. The first being is that this makes the Jags better. And the second thing is I'll no longer get to enjoy hearing the nearly daily stories on the radio of Urban's awfully hilarious mistakes. I will say, I agree with the texter. You know, it's probably great for everybody down in Jacksonville that this has happened, but I'm going to miss him a little bit. It provided us with just some great content.
No doubt. I mean, again, like I'm now, I've been Googling, you know, like worst head coaching tenures. Yeah, Petrino. Number one, according to Yardbarker, is Rod Rust of the New England Patriots. I thought Rich Kotite would be someone. Yeah, okay, he's number five in this list. Rod Marinelli had the winless Lions. But again, I mean, he even had like an okay year as a coach.
Ken Wisenhunt's got to be on that list somewhere. Like, he's awful.
Well,
he was good with Arizona.
I guess the tenure here.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You know, he had a very good tenure elsewhere. He got Lou Holtz with the Jets. I forgot about that one in the 70s. My gosh! But I mean Hugh Jackson. You know, there's plenty of like bad ones. But Marty Morningweg took the win. The Lions represented a lot, of course. But this is new territory, man. This is new territory. Unless someone can tell me otherwise or think of somebody, I don't think there exists someone who went out in a year and then did it like this, like just a complete flame out.
Got to be a fun time to be a Jacksonville Jaguars fan today. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Urban Meyer all show long on our text line. When we come back, we will get into the craziness that was National Signing Day yesterday with some NIL flavor tossed in there as well. Man, was it wild to watch yesterday in college football. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And what a day it was yesterday, Joe Rex Road, in college football. The early signing period underway, and basically what has become National Signing Day for college football yesterday taking place. There are a lot of things to get to, both here locally and on the national scale as well, but the story of the day in college football yesterday was Deion Sanders down at Jackson State, hauling away Travis Hunter, who, depending on who you ask, some say number one recruit, some say number two recruit in the country. Regardless, one of the top two or three recruits in the entire nation makes the decision to flip from Florida State to go to Jackson State to team up with Deion Sanders, or I guess I should call him Coach Prime before he calls in and yells at me. What a move in college football. The first time we've seen something like that happen, and by the way, there's a gigantic NIL deal that comes with that as well with Travis Hunter. Barstool is involved. He's getting paid over $1 million when everything is said and done with this as well. What an incredible story, the first really of its kind. And, Joe, I'm interested, I guess, to see what kind of an effect this is going to have on the future of recruiting, the future of college football and National Signing Day as we move forward. But, man, didn't see that one coming yesterday. Travis Hunter flipping from Florida State and going to Jackson State.
Yeah, well, I'll let me ask you, because we've kind of argued about NIL and, like, what the impact will be. Does this make you think more that, you know, that the haves don't necessarily get all the benefit of NIL?
It does. I'll be honest with you. It has changed the way I've thought about it a little bit, because, I mean, you know, I get it. Deion, it's a different situation because Deion has a connection with Barstool. So it's a little bit different from that regard. I mean, that's a pretty powerful moneymaker to have, regardless of what you think of Barstool. They make a ton of money out there. So it's a different situation. But, yeah, it did make me think of things a little bit differently based on the way that went. And I just wonder, you know, what that's going to look like. We talked about yesterday, you know, Cade Mays putting it out there on a show a couple of days ago of, yeah, I'm 50-50 on coming back to Tennessee and looking for an NIL deal that might give me your third or fourth round money. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see how college kids and high school kids even use this. I do think it's made me feel a little bit differently about it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's where, and that's, of course, I think that's another side of this, is which is, I think, good for college athletics. Again, we've talked about, like, Scottie Pippen Jr. at Vanderbilt. There's always more than one factor, but I can tell you with 100% certainty after talking to him about it, I mean, if this did not exist as a possibility, you know, then he'd probably be, even if he wasn't in the NBA, he'd be in the G League, or he'd be somewhere making money, which I wouldn't blame someone for that at all. And I look at Hendon Hooker, you know, who I think it without this, I don't know with him, you know, what the breakdown on it is, but you've got to be, if you're him, able to see a possibility to make a lot of money and make it worthwhile to stay, be in college, enjoy where you are, which is obviously worked out great for, but then also not feel like, oh man, I screwed myself. I could at least be making like fifth round backup money somewhere, you know? Yeah. But that's the other side of it. This side of it is, I mean, it is, and I continue to see, you know, this, like, oh my God, we're paying players now, you know? It's like, dude, what have you been watching here?
Dabo's not very happy about it.
You know, like, yeah. Oh, what? Yeah, and you know what? I didn't even really get to catch up on that, but I saw that he had another tantrum. And I understand, like, look, for him right now, I suppose you can tolerate a little bit of displaced anger, because, like, his program is falling apart on him right now. I mean, like, every time I looked at Twitter yesterday, I was like, and this former Clemson recruit has committed to Michigan and signed with Michigan. And this former Clemson recruit has signed with Texas A&M. It's just like on and on. And his staff. But we all know, I mean, you know, Dabo has been very, oh, well, if the players get paid, I'm out of here. Well,
next coach of the Jags. Go ahead.
Yeah, then you got Mike Leach with this whole, like, oh, how could you, like, leave your team at this time? I'm like, Mike, what happens in your profession? But anyway, that's a stunner. That's all people were talking about yesterday. And I wonder, like, you know, does it represent, you know, a sea change that we're starting to see? Or is this still going to be, like you said, this is a special case with specifically with Deion Sanders. Like, you know, is he going to, is this going to be something he's going to build to the point where that's going to be a, you know, like a nationally prominent type of football team? Or does Deion Sanders parlay that into like a Power Five job? I mean, I'd love to see him stay there and do great things, but I don't know.
Oh, people have already, like on Twitter, they're already convinced that Deion Sanders is going to be the next head coach of Florida State. Whenever Norvell's done, like Deion Sanders is bringing Travis Hunter with him, and they're going back to Florida State.
And by the way, that's why I asked about the Twitter spaces, because apparently that was a huge thing.
Oh, yeah.
like some like big Twitter group therapy session on all the Florida State fans who want to fire Mike Norvell. Because Florida State fans think that like you should immediately win 12 games or you're immediately fired at Florida State.
Yes.
But you may be right. You may be right. He took Norvell's top recruit. And I'm sure there's plenty of Florida State fans. Shoot, there's a Twitter space today about hire Deion.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, how long before we have a national transfer day? Just get the national signing day one day and get national transfer day a couple weeks later. See what that looks like.
That's not a bad idea. Don't joke. Someone will market that.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, that's the wild thing. You know, this was one of the topics Caroline came up with, was if you were a coach starting a program, and I mean, it's wild that this would be a question. I think the answer is easy, but still, the fact that it's a question, if you were a college coach starting a program and you could only do one of two things, you could really rely on high school recruiting or on the transfer portal, what would you do? Again, I think, like, you know, the easy answer is it's still high school recruiting.
Yes.
You have to recruit, every year, 25 players, 20 players, whatever, and you stack it. And that's why Alabama, Clemson, you know, well, Clemson's struggling right now, but, you know, Georgia, Ohio State, they're all the usual suspects year after year. That's why they are where they are year after year. But the fact that it's even become a question, pretty amazing. I mean, the portal is, and then by the way, we got to mention this Keontae Goodwin thing. Did you see this thing?
No.
So he's choosing between Kentucky and Michigan State, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
A five-star offensive lineman. He's a Kentucky commitment for a long time, but apparently Michigan State, you know, made it close. So he calls a press conference, which is, like, sponsored by, like, tax or something. But then the press conference is like, I need more time, guys. And then he's like, well, I'm going to have a new press conference and come to this gym for the
yes.
So like he's like getting paid all over the place to announce where he's going, which is amazing. And then he finally announces Kentucky, and then last night all this stuff comes out. It's like actually he hasn't signed and it's still going on.
Yes.
So who knows, maybe there's like a third lucrative press conference available for him.
He's a businessman. He's like, can't choose yet. Let's just do another sponsored event.
Yeah, and it's like the, you know, when you do the hat dance now, it's like, well, Under Armour, I don't know. I got these Nike hats. Of course, I guess you can't actually do that because the schools actually have apparel deals. So think about that. If you have if you're choosing between schools that have different apparel deals, you know?
Yeah. Tough spots.
So many things to think about. But
good stuff.
I still think it's awesome.
It was certainly a lot of fun to watch. It was a good day for Texas A&M as well. Right now they are number one in 24/7 sports ratings. So Jimbo doing a good job. How about Jimbo hopping on Feinbaum yesterday and basically being like, yeah, we used to do this stuff all the time. It just wasn't legal. Now it's they can get paid for it. I'm glad somebody
we had an NIL deal. Yeah, I know. Bless your heart, Jimbo. I'm more of a Jimbo fan now after that. You know, bless your heart for doing that. And I know we're going to get more into it later, but Vanderbilt's second best class ever,
yep,
if you go by the rankings. And Tennessee, really strong finish for Josh Heupel. Really good to get into the top 15. And And we're going to have Clark Lee later and Ryan Callahan at Go Balls 24/7 talk about both those classes.
Absolutely. We'll have a lot of information on that coming up later today on the show. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jordan texting in, Western Union Transfer Day. Nice sponsor for that one. Be good stuff. Way to go, Jordan. When we come back, we'll switch gears, get into the Titans. Some good news yesterday on the injury front at times. Still one that's really concerning to me. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Get Bud back at practice. Is this one of those just responding, see how he responds throughout the week situations?
Yeah, well, I think that's been what we've done all along with everybody that has come off of, you know, we're pretty used to this now after this return to play, and, you know, see where he is and see how he responds and then make a decision, you know, going into the weekend.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday at Titans practice discussing the return of Bud Dupree to the practice field. Good to see Bud Dupree out there yesterday. Titans taking on the Steelers this week. Bud Dupree has been out with an abdominal injury. He was designated to return by the Titans yesterday. So Joe Rex wrote some good news on that front. It would be big if Bud Dupree could be back and available for this group taking on Pittsburgh on Sunday in a game where I am quite sure that if he can at all possibly be out there, Bud Dupree will want to be out there for this one.
And I'm no expert, and I spent the day yesterday doing a behind-the-scenes story on Vanderbilt's signing day. So I did not go out to the Titans, but I saw a lot of videos, and he looks ready to go. I think he's going to play.
Yeah,
that's my expert opinion. Based on some good video, TD had some good videos. Luke Worsham had some good videos. You know, a variety of wonderful videographers on this beat.
None quite like you.
I know it was. Listen. Every once in a while, it's like Orson Welles shows up, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's in black and white and slow mo, and it's just amazing stuff. But I think he looks like he's. Like this time off did him well. Boy, what a big deal that would be for the Titans if they could get him going and have, you know, those four guys again together. I mean, I think that's as much as the offense obviously needs their stars back. The defense, when those four guys were whatever the heck you want to call them, not the tickle monsters, but whatever the heck you want to call them, when they were going, I mean, that's to me a huge key to this team really making a run. And if they could get all the four of those guys in tandem again, that would be a big deal.
Would be a big deal. We'll see and monitor Bud Dupree's status this week. I will say I'm really concerned about David Long Jr. at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he's back on the injury list again. He's been on there, hadn't been able to get on the field, and now a hamstring injury that is a do not practice again. I mean, you're talking about since the LA game that this hamstring injury has been bothering him. They never placed him on injured reserve, so that would lead me to believe that at least at the time they thought it wasn't going to be that bad. But here we are, David Long Jr. again yesterday, not practicing due to the hamstring injury. That's pretty concerning to me.
No, I agree. It's almost, I mean, it's not this, but I did think for a minute about Adoree Jackson last year. And just the endless story of, well, I mean, did he have a setback or what's going on? The knee, is it hurt again? You know, I would assume since he didn't go on IR and he actually was out there at least to some extent, like at least like around, you know, what, like maybe he must have tweaked it again. Pure speculation, but it's a weird timeline. And I agree, it's not great. I mean, David Long, I think, is also a big part of the successful formula for the Titans. But I will say, if there's a position right now where you might be okay,
yeah,
you did have Rashawn Evans come back and play well. You do have Jayon Brown back. And now Zach Cunningham wearing the 33. I can't believe they didn't retire Brady Breeze as 33, but they did not. And so Zach Cunningham is out there in the 33. And you got some good options. You got some good options, at least, at that position. I still think, yes, eventually, you know, your best defense includes David Long in there. But I agree, that's a weird one. Jenkins still not going with the ankle too. But I mean, this is, somebody said, and I'm not going to go back to verify it. Like, I don't have time, but this is the shortest injury report of the entire season for the Titans yesterday.
And it looks like it. Yeah. When I looked at it yesterday, that was the first thing I stuck out. I was like, wow, that's not that bad. How about that?
Eight people. It's amazing.
Pretty amazing. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in James from Murfreesboro. James, what's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
So, let me get this straight. If the Titans beat the Steelers and the Colts beat the Patriots, they'll have the number one seed?
That is correct.
That's correct. But
they'll be back at number one. Yeah.
But they wouldn't be tied because the Patriots beat us earlier in the year?
Well, they'd have a better record than the Patriots at that point, because if the Patriots lose and the Titans win, Patriots would have five losses and Titans would have four.
Okay, I gotcha. I understand. I gotcha.
Yep. Thanks for the call, James. We appreciate it. So, I mean, that goes back to the question that we've been asking all week, that we've gotten way different responses and opinions on, of pretty interesting to see who the Titans fans are going to be rooting for between the Patriots and the Colts on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's a good – I do think – I think the way to go is to root for the Colts. obviously, the safe thing is to lock up that division as soon as you can. And it's not like the Patriots couldn't lose again. I mean, I've already called the shot that the Bills are going to go in there and get revenge. I feel – still okay about that, but not great.
I feel better about my funeral to the Buffalo Bills.
Man, they almost turned it all around. Well, we'll see how they respond from what happened in Florida. But the Patriots. I mean, it's this, and then if they handle this and the Bills, now you get the Jags without Urban's expert coaching. And you wrap it up at Miami, and I guess if Miami's playing for something, playing for a playoff spot, that could be a competitive game. But I think you root for the Colts, and you have faith that the Titans are going to win two more games. If the Titans win two more games, the Colts can win out, and it doesn't matter. You win the division. I think now if the Colts win, and then the Steelers win, then next week will be like, you should have rooted for the Colts, for the Patriots. But then again, it doesn't really matter who you root for. So do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want, and just the Titans at the end of the day, just win the game. That's what you really need to be focused on. Is the Titans win the game against the Steelers, you're probably still in a pretty good spot, regardless of the situation. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our buddy Will texting in. Hugh Jackson going 3-36 is the worst head coaching job, in my opinion. Also, Luke Fickell will get a big job in a year or two, and Urban gets the Cincinnati job. This is coming from Will. So, Urban just taking over for his buddy Luke Fickell at Cincinnati when everything's said and done.
I mean, Hugh Jackson, it was a bad coaching job. Let's also let's give an acknowledgement to the roster he had. I'm not excusing him. I think he was a terrible head coach, okay? Terrible team. Urban also has a terrible team. Hugh Jackson wasn't a laughingstock of the world for the one season that he couldn't even finish. I'm sorry, Hugh, but Urban blew you away.
Way to go, Urban. I love this. Like the Jags, you mentioned the Patriots taking on, the Urbanless Jags. Maybe freed up now. Like maybe a big win against the Texans coming up on Sunday. See a lot of things coming down the pike here for the Jags, finishing out the season strong. What say you?
Hey, it's right. It's I think at least like James Robinson will like get a goal line carry or what. But by the way, remind me again. Who's interim coach?
It's Darryl Bevell, I think.
Yeah, Bevell. Yeah. Wisconsin Badgers quarterbacking legend.
Yes,
Darryl Bevell. Yeah. Watch out, man. You never know how a team's going to react to something like this. They may be playing for Urban. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe so. You fired a coach.
What? Urban all over their helmets, you know?
1-2-3 grind, breaking it down one last time for Urban. ESPN The Game Nashville and Newton Motor Group have teamed up this holiday season with Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works with our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. And Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls for every test drive at any of Newton Motor Group's 4 locations. You can help us achieve our goal of getting shoes to 100 kids in Nashville experiencing homelessness. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. We'll be right back continuing the discussion on the Titans. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The five guys that you started the season with back and relatively healthy.
How do you know how healthy they are?
Well, they're
relatively healthy. I'm just curious how you know that.
They're healthy enough to play.
Yeah, okay.
So, because I know you always talk about nobody's 100%.
You're right.
But having those guys back and playing together, how much can that help you down the stretch?
I think continuity, especially at that group, but you know, you look at any type where there's a defensive line and maybe that's the same guys talking about running games. You know, they get, you know, the same guy that they're running a game with, they start to build some continuity on how they're supposed to do it or how they're doing it. Offensive line is probably the most critical position to have that relationship of making calls on the fly. A defensive lineman slides over, you know, 2 feet and calls change. And so that has to happen really quickly, and hopefully the guys playing together can make that happen quicker. Protections change, you know, whether Ryan or Ben changes the protection and making sure that everybody's on the same page. And then, you know, even more so than being on the same page is just, you know, making sure that we block our guy. That's the most important thing for a lineman.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his media press conference. I love the back and forth there with Terry McCormick. How do you know how healthy they are? It's good stuff. Good stuff from Vrabel.
Man.
Compatible.
It was easier for T-Mac when he was, on Zoom circling Saturn.
Oh, good
times. That was unnecessary. That was unnecessary, Vrabel. Unnecessary.
Oh, but it was funny. It was good stuff.
Yes.
Liam on the text line. Wayne Fonts winning one playoff game with Barry Sanders makes him the worst coach, in my opinion. But also, was he the best Lions coach in history? Joe Rex, your thoughts?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think he won the division like 3 or 4 times. And he won the one playoff game. The Lions have won since the 50s. So, yeah.
Maybe put him in the Hall of
been
Fame.
Much worse.
Just put him
in. Exactly. Lions ring of honor, man. Yeah, like, man. You know? So, yeah, I mean, we just mentioned Rod Marinelli and Marty Morningweg. I mean, you got some delicious choices from the Lions buffet of coaches.
We'll see what Dan Campbell could do for that list. Although, dramatic win, dramatic tie so far this year, so he's off to a good start up there in Detroit. Titans taking on the Steelers coming up on Sunday, a massive game for the Titans. And it's interesting because, and David Beauclair and I talked about this a little bit yesterday too, every time when the schedule comes out and you're glancing down and you look on your schedule and you say, huh, playing against the Steelers, huh? Especially playing against the Steelers on the road in December. Your mind says, man, that's going to be a tough game. Just based on the history of that franchise, how consistent they've been over the years. Honestly, though, Joe, I look at this Steelers team. Look, they're 6-6-1. Mike Tomlin, I still think, is a great coach. I think he's probably a top 5 coach in the NFL. I know some people would question that. I'm not one of them. I think Mike Tomlin is a really good coach. But they're 6-6-1. Their offense, quite frankly, is at times really tough to watch. Like, Ben Roethlisberger is done, and I don't think anybody's really told him yet, but I think he knows it deep down. This is going to be his last year. They're so hit or miss offensively. I just don't really know what to make of this Pittsburgh Steelers team. It doesn't feel like the same, you know, daunting task as it normally does heading into Pittsburgh, which I know makes Titans fans really nervous hearing me say that. But I just watched this Pittsburgh team play and I think to myself, yeah, they've got TJ Watt and he's really good. But other than that, pretty average out there.
Yeah, I think there's something to just the uniform, you know? Like, I think that there's just like an intimidation or just like an there's an expectation. And look, they've earned that. I mean, you talk about coaches. Let's talk about, you know, the worst coaches of all time and go through. You mentioned Wisenhunt. I mean, you can find any franchise, I think. Maybe there's an exception. Yeah, I mean, go to the Niners and like Mike Singletary. I mean, you can go through all these franchises and find disastrous coaching tenures. I mean, the Steelers have had Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin for like the last 50 years. It's incredible. Like the continuity and consistency of that franchise, I would put it up against any professional sports franchise in our country. But yeah, this team, you know, actually is, I mean, like, and even with TJ Watt and some other good players on defense, you know, I mean, they are worst in the NFL in rushing yards per play allowed, 4.97
yep.
per play. That's a gross number. And I know Dalvin Cook is a different guy, but if you watched them last time out against Minnesota, before basically the Vikings turtled, I mean, Dalvin Cook just was running through truck size lanes. I mean, they're 27th in the league in total defense. You know, they're just a diminished team. They're not good up front offensively either. I mean, that's the thing, you know, rushing yards per play the other way is 29th. So they are the worst combination of running and stop the run in the NFL. That's not what the Pittsburgh Steelers are supposed to be at all. It's not even close. But I think it speaks to, I mean, I think it speaks to the offensive line. It speaks to, I'm surprised. I'm much more surprised defensively. And the thing is, I still think Najee Harris is a really good player, but
yeah.
I mean, the numbers are what they are. So it's just, I mean, basically, what do they do well? You know, they're actually pretty good. Like, they're 10th in goal-to-go percentage. So, if they get there, they're pretty good. They don't turn it over. They don't throw interceptions. And they do have still a very good sack rate. I mean, sacks per pass attempt, they're third in the league at 8.58%. They're also first in goal-to-go defensive percentage. So, it's just so weird. Like, they get dominated a lot, and then they, when it comes down to what this game comes down to a lot, which is the red zone, they figure it out on both sides.
Well, they do, and the one part of this matchup for me that if you're a Titans fan scares the heck out of you is if TJ Watt can play. Right now he's limited in practice yesterday, and he's dealing with a groin injury. But TJ, I mean, he's got 16 sacks in 11 games this year, and we've spent all week long talking about the offensive line for the Titans and how much they've struggled in pass protection. The last thing you want to be staring down the barrel at if you're this Titans offensive line right now is probably TJ Watt coming off the edge with how dominant he's been this year. I mean, people, it's not going to happen, but they were asking the question earlier this week, like, should TJ Watt be in the NFL MVP conversation with the type of year he's having? He's not going to be. He's not going to win it, but 16 sacks in 11 games, pretty impressive for Mr. Watt.
Yeah, and again, it's a subpar defense, you know. And I would just expect the fact that he was out there the first day, limited, and you know they've had the extra time, and they're 6-6-1. That they don't have their margin for error is gone. So I mean, they can't afford to go to drop this game and fall to 6-7-1. So I would expect him to give it a go. Maybe he'll be limited. You know, well, look, the bottom line is it. Back before this, of course, you, as a team playing the Steelers, you did have to also worry about Bud Dupree. And before he tore his ACL last year, you know, it was an imposing defense to face. And now I'm not sitting here saying you take Bud Dupree out, look how bad their D is, because TJ Watt's still incredible. But at least the Titans can focus their resources on him. I'm sure a lot of other teams have said that, and he's still gotten them. He's a heck of a player. He's not J.J. Watt in his prime, but he's really, really good. But I would expect him to give it a go because they, you know, they have to win this game.
Going to be a cold day on Sunday in Pittsburgh. Not as cold as it could be. They got a high of 37 on Sunday. And right now, according to my weather app, 7% chance of precipitation there as well, Joe. So there's your weather update for Pittsburgh coming up on Sunday. The Titans, a 1.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. So going to be interesting to see what this game looks like. This is obviously, it's a big game for the Titans. This is a huge game for Pittsburgh. Like, if you're going to stay alive in the playoff hunt, you probably need to win this game if you're Pittsburgh, based on the way their season has gone. And look, they're in a situation where we asked the question after that Lions game, like, could that tie against the Lions work in their favor, or is that going to come back to bite them? And right now it's coming back to bite them.
Yeah, I mean, because you have to get a win against that team. If they lose this game 6-7-1, and then, hey, how about a nice trip to Kansas City? I think if they lose this game, they're done. Realistically, they're out of it. They win it. I still think it's a tough road having to go to Kansas City. Then they get the Browns at home. Then they're at Baltimore, back to the AFC North mud fight, you know, that's been going on all year. But you can't, if you're the Steelers, you can't. I mean, 8-8-1 is not getting it done. You at least have to win 3 of the last 4 games. That might not even get it done, but you at least have to do that, and that means you have to win Sunday.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and look ahead to the Steelers. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This morning, make sure that you're tuning in for the cue to call during the 7 o'clock hour for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series as the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning outdoors for the ultimate celebration of hockey at Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday, February the 26th. You can be a part of the 70,000 rocking fans at Nissan Stadium. Looking forward to that one coming up between the Preds and the Lightning. Outdoor hockey, absolutely awesome. So make sure you're staying tuned in the 7 o'clock hour for your cue to call. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save